There we go. Okay. so this week we'll be back to programming a little bit. I guess you all started having a look at the assignment and see that task two is about programming PHP and not directly a database. I could have added a database, or I mean a relational database to this, but that would mean that it would be much more work for you, and even though it might be some quite good experience, it's quite a lot to do to have the two pieces work together. So then the question is, why? So here we have processing XML data and alternatives to XML. So why did we do that? Why did I decide to include XML and this whole XPath, XML, DOM, everything into a database course? Any of you had any thoughts about it? It's much the same. Yeah, it's about data management. That's absolutely right. Any of you used MongoDB? No. MongoDB is a database system. MongoDB is storing the data in JSON structure. What is JSON structure? We're going to talk about that on Thursday. JSON structure is a hierarchical structure. XML is a hierarchical structure. Being able to manage hierarchical data is a database skill, I consider it. And actually, before relational databases, the databases were either hierarchical or network databases. We are kind of back to the future, or back to, somehow getting back to where it all started. So XPath, as you can see, is a query language. And the hierarchical data, you'll find it quite often. And in a database system, especially a web or a network-based system where you have multiple servers, XML is quite a lot used to send data from one server to the other. So we have something called web services, where the whole web protocol and XML and all the technologies are being used to pass data from the database to database, going through the servers. These days, you will see JSON much more. How many of you have heard about JSON? Yeah, so we'll talk about JSON, and maybe I don't have to spend so much time on it, but we'll talk about it on Thursday. But JSON is quite frequently being used to pass data from clients, from mobile phones to the server, where they will end up in the database. So hierarchical data is around, and having a bit of experience in traversing and dealing with hierarchical data is makes sense. And I think that Frode already covered tree traversal. I'm a data structure nerd, so I kind of like the data structure building block on this tree. It's very different from the tree structures you've seen before, the DOM node and the DOM tree, and I kind of think it's an excellent design, and we'll spend a little bit of time. A question. I had a meeting with the reference group for a while ago, and the feedback is that you find my lectures a bit confusing, because partly some of you didn't see that I recommend, and I assume that you have watched the video. So how many of you did watch the video from last year before today? Okay, so we're going to have a little bit of a... I'm going to go through examples today, and if you haven't looked at the video, it may be look confusing, especially also because I use some different tools. So let's see. I don't know how to make this very clear, but if you look at the... So what I'm going to do today, and we'll see how far I come. I haven't put up anything for Thursday yet, the details, because on Thursday we will, I don't know how far I'm going to come in the DOM part, and we will do a little bit of JSON and semi-structured data in databases, but how much that's going to be depends on how far we're going to come today, going through DOM, which I think is the more important part. We will go through the DOM part, which means that from last year, I covered SAX, the simple access to XML, which is an alternative way of accessing XML data. We're not going to cover it in lectures, but I do think that you should see them. And I do expect you to know the basics of SAX, but I don't think I'm never going to ask you to write a SAX parser. But you should understand it, because it's a convenient tool to use as well in the whole XML family. So what we'll do to this year is going through other examples than the ones you had from last year. So if you go through both of them, hopefully you're going to find more or understand better what we're talking about. But first, as some of you noticed, I did release assignment 5 with some errors. I didn't maintain the consistency of my data, so I fixed everything in my XML document, but it was obviously the wrong one I sent you, so I had to find the right one again. Should have used Git for that, but I didn't for the XML document. So get the latest version, because in one there is a typo. Captain America is written Captain, and the I and A has swapped places in the old version. So if you would like to get the right answers to that query, you need to get the latest version of the document. I'm sorry. So, I hope that at least some of you then know what DOM is. And I'm going to divide this into 3 parts. First, we talk about the structure overall, and I'm not going to go in much detail. So, if you want to see more of it, go through the first part of last year's lecture. I'll talk about the DOM tree and the data structure, DOM data structures that are relevant. But this is just the background, because the most interesting part of DOM is use it to get data out of the document. So that's where all the traversal comes in. So we need to go through the document and pick up the information we want. And we use the DOM to make programs that would read XML data and access XML data. And then at the very end, maybe we aren't able to get there today, but in the end, it's about modifying document as well. That's one of the big difference between SAX and DOM, is that in SAX, you can only read data. In DOM, you can also manipulate the DOM. You can manipulate the content and generate an XML file if you want, or just keep the DOM version in memory. Okay, so before this, so let's see if some of you who have been watching the video before. So what is the DOM, Document Object Model? What is it? Tree-based representation of XML data. Yes, in memory. So when we write a program, so if you look here, can you foresee yourself writing a program in C++ to parse this big document, to pick up something in the middle of the document, or pick up something here and there? There's going to be a lot of, okay, you have to look for a less than sign, you have to look for the quotes and matching quotes, and you have to test that it's all valid. It's going to be a hell of a lot of code just to go through this. So to avoid having to parse the text file itself, we have these XML parsers. And DOM is using an XML parser to create an in-memory tree data structure. It's an API, so we can access data by just going through the objects and the attributes and the properties and the functions of the objects to get all the data we need. So we don't have to worry about all this complexity in the file structure. So this is an example document that I think if used the slides I made for her, I think she used that one as an example document for the XPath as well. So it's the skier log document. So this is basically how it looks like if I go to the browser. If I let the browser demonstrate the hierarchical structure. So the DOM is partly the structure, but it's also then all the methods and properties you can access and modify and deal with. But first we deal with the structure. So if you go to the skier logs, we see here that we have the document, and all XML documents have one root. If they have multiple roots, it would be a whole forest. It wouldn't be a tree. A tree does have only one root. So the root here would be skier logs, and then we have clubs, we have skiers, and we have a couple of seasons. So that's top level. We have one node, 4 children. The first child has number of club children, another 4 children. And then for each one of them, we get even deeper down. So that's kind of the hierarchical structure. We do have, if you remember in relational database design, we do have primary keys and foreign keys. And we have a little bit of that here as well, because here we have created IDs, and ID, we're going to talk about this when we talk about the XML schemas. We can create, we can define the ID to be a primary key. And if we go to the other part here, under season, we have club ID. That's a foreign key. We don't have the notion of primary key and foreign key in XML, but we do have, when we talk about schemas, we can define IDs and ID refs, or with schema, we can define keys and key references. Keys and key references are like primary keys and foreign keys. So it's the same thing. We know some of these things, but they are described and defined in a different way. So this is our document, and as we remember from the XPath, we have different types of nodes. I mean, we have text nodes, we have attribute nodes, we have element nodes, and we have the possibility in XPath to query and retrieve the various types of nodes. Now, that's the overall tree structure. To build up that tree structure, we have four different types of data structures that we need to deal with. And this is where I think this is, as a data structure nerd, this is what I like. Not so much the first part, but then it gets there, if you want to. So the first is that inside the DOM, we have an XPath processor. So everything you do in the first assignment you did last week, we are going to benefit from then that part when we make a program. So I'll challenge you to see how small you can make the two functions you're going to make in task two. Because if you are using XPath in a very clever way, you're not going to write many lines of code. But if you aren't, if you're going brute force, it's going to be page after page after page with code. So try to be clever. Try to use XPath in the best possible way. Because that's a tool we use to access XML data, and it's available there, right there, in DOM. Then we have a data structure called a node list. And when you query or put up an XPath expression, you typically get a DOM list, or a node list, sorry. You have a list of nodes. What is the equivalent in, if you go to PHP, to a node list? An array, a numbered array. So you have number of kids. And as Dipti was saying last week, the elements in the array will be ordered. Either forward order, if you ask for all children, for instance, but if you ask for ancestors, they get in backward order. So you get from the node where you are and either upwards or downwards, depending on what the axis of your query is. Then we have a named node map. A named node map. In this case, I said what is the equivalent in PHP or in the programming language. It's an associative array. And when I say associative array, you all remember what that is? An associative array. And it's an array where the key is not a number, but... Sorry? It's a string, so the key is a string. So we can, if you remember when we did worked with the database rows, so we could get the rows and we can ask for the a row has attribute values. So when you query a database, you get the ID and you get the name and all the rows and all the columns. But for each of those, you have values. Now, if you remember, we can use the row. We can use a numerical index and ask for the first column, the second column, the third column in the response. Or we could use the column name as the key if we had an associative retrieval. Fetch assos, if you remember, in PDO. Same thing here. So associate named node map is a data structure where you have a set of elements. It's an array of elements, but it's not indexed with zero. They are indexed with keys. And then the value will be, of course, then the value in the array. They are used just for one purpose in this structure, and they are used to keep attribute data. So you remember that an element may have many attributes. And to store the attributes for an element, we have a node, name node map. So each element then would have a name node map where all the attributes go in. So if you add an attribute, it will be one place for each attribute. That's why, if you remember from the very first time, we said that in XML, you can't have two attributes with the same name. You can have only one. Because in that, and that's why we have this data structure, because it can be only one value for each of the keys. And my favorite in this data structure is the DOM node itself. It's the major building block. It builds everything. Everything in the tree is inheriting DOM node. When we program, we always keep the manual close, and we look at the manual. And in this case, the PHP manual that goes with XML DOM. And be careful. There is something called the simple XML, another XML DOM interface that PHP offers. We are not going to use that. So if you try to submit a new assignment using simple XML, it's going to be turned back to you because it's the DOM we're going to exercise. It's a DOM that's standardized. You're going to find a DOM, and I'll be playing with DOM today, both in JavaScript in the browser and with PHP DOM. And you're going to see that the functions are the same. They are not always doing exactly the same, and we'll come back to that. That's an implementation error, I would say. Now, so if you look here, the XML manipulation, we find that we have this DOM, and we have the ones we are not going to use, and then you also have the XML parser, which is the sex. The XML parser here is the sex implementation, but the one we're going to be using is the first one. It's the DOM. And it's not these other ones. And when we get to the documentation of the document object model, you're going to see here, you can read more about the, let's see if you find the, there you go, the named node map that we talked about. You're going to find the node list, the ones we already talked about, and what the functions are. I'm going to come back a little bit to it. And then the final building block is the DOM node itself. And as I described in the last year's video, the important part here will be the structure part of this. So there are a number of, in C++ you will call them pointers. PHP doesn't have pointers, but these are still references to objects. They are like pointers underneath, you just don't see them. And these are here, the in the middle here. I'm going to come back to them. But this is the first child, last child, previous sibling, next sibling, and let's see, parent node. We have the, let's see, owner document. So these are references from one node in the XML DOM tree to another node. And these are the links that we are going to be using when we pick out and get data. And you can quickly become kind of fluent in writing some XML, but to really do efficient traversal, to efficiently get out the information you want, that takes a bit of practice. Okay, now, let's start with the DOM XPath. So, in DOM XPath, you have two functions. One, evaluate, which is similar to JavaScript X function, so we can evaluate an expression, and using evaluate, we can both get node lists, and we can get, what else can we in XPath get? If we don't get a node list, what can we then get? An integer number. We can count, and we can find a sum. So with evaluate, you could do that. With query, which is another one, which is the one I typically use, because usually we only want to get node lists. So if you want to get a node list, you can as well use the query function. So let's be practical. Let's see how we can find the skier object where the username is Andrew. So, if we go to the skier logs, then if you look at skiers, the one we want to find is this one. And we remember here that in did Dipti use the console a lot, or she mostly used the other tool? Sorry? She used the console, good. Because she also had this other tool that she preferred to use for just for XPath queries. Now, so how do we get to these skiers? Could I do skier? Obviously I can. Do I get the skiers I want in this case? I get a bit too much, because the two skiers are two places in my tree. They are here under the skiers, but if I go to season, I also find skier nodes here, and the skier is here. So I prefer, whenever writing an XPath, I prefer being as detailed as possible. So in this case, it's going to be under skier logs and skiers and skier. Those are the ones I'm interested in. And if we are looking for the one with user name, and you can see now they all come up again because they all have a username. So now we could kind of see what happened, what the XPath processor is doing as I'm typing. So you can see the 112 nodes that we have here. They are the result of all those are all the nodes for which a username attribute is defined. But we are looking for only those, and right now it's empty set because it's not a valid, or there's no one with an empty username. And was it? Was it the other way? This is one skier. And if I want to get hold of that skier, so this is a node list. Even if it's just one node, it's a node list. And if I want to process the list, I need to get the first one out of the list. And here I could use JavaScript. Now you see I have a skier. So if you see here, I have a skier element. If I took this one away, I have an array, a node list of skiers with just one skier. So if I want to have access to the one skier, I can do something like this. Now, I can take this one, and let's go to PHP. Now, there is going to be some setup here. So what I've done here is I created a test and a class similarly to what you get in your code. So the Disney class and the Disney test file, I copied it, I create something similar here. Question? Oh, okay. Yeah, I have forgotten to change the color on this one. Oh, yeah, that's right. Let me dim the light. Let's see. Better? Should I lower this as well, or it doesn't matter? It's okay now? I'll try to. I had to reinstall all the software, so now I have a default coloring on the. Sorry for that. Let's see. It helps a little bit, does it? Okay, so I need to spend a couple of minutes just to explain what I've done here. So I have a DOM class. If you looked at the code in the assignment, it's very similar to the Disney class. So it has it's a class DOM. It has a DOM object variable, and it has an XPath variable. It's quite convenient to have the XPath object run, so that whenever I want to make a query, it's there. I can just use it. Otherwise, I had to create it every time I want to make a query. So I think it's convenient to have it there. And it's created on the document itself. So I create a document, and I load whatever URL I get, and I just attach the XPath to this document. So whenever I run a query on the XPath, it's going to be run on this document. Now, the getDoc function. So let's just try to see how this works. So now what this one is doing is, let me see if I messed up something else in my file here. I hope not. I was playing with it this morning. So what it does is just returning the document as it is to the caller. We just want to see that, okay, I can get the whole document just to see how the old setup is. And then if I look at the, where did that go? The DOM test. So in the DOM test, what it does is it implements, or it gets the DOM class, and it uses the class. And this is a unit test. It wants to use it. And in the before function, which means that before every test, what it does before every test is to load the XML document. So if we in one test messes around with the XML structure, it doesn't matter, because for the next test, it's reading the XML document once again. And then these are the tests. So let's first just run this test where we use the debugger. So you get to see how I can use a debugger to get a little bit of information on what's happening. So I could have written all my tests to make sure that the loaded document had the number of whatever I needed. All the clubs were there and all the skiers were there, so I can write that kind of test. But right now, I don't do any testing. I just use it so that you get familiar with the way of using the tool, because it's different from the debuggers and the test programs you've been writing before. And I would like you to come into the habit of using the testing environment for when as you develop. So what this does is just prints whatever it gets from the DOM class when you call this. Oh, let's hope that I have everything right. So if I run the test, and now we remember that we had to add the debug flag here to have it, I could have made it a bit wider, but okay. So these are the other tests. We're going to come to the other tests. So the first test, what does it do? Well, it lists a lot of texts. So what's happening here is that the debugger, when it gets a tree of XML, it eats everything except the texts that rest. So you can see the value here. This is from a log. So in the 17th of, well, maybe I should point the right way, sorry. I have this nice tool. The 17th of January in 2017, he was in Trondheim, Essenstad, and went for 2K. And everything else, all the attributes and all the element names and everything is lost. We just, the only thing we see here will be the text. And wherever there is a new line in the XML document, is a new line here as well, because that is text. So that's why it looks this strange. So this is the dump of the content of the XML document when you remove everything that will be inside the definition of elements. Just the remaining text that's left out there. Not so exciting test. What we wanted to do was to see if we could do some test of XPath. So if we here, no, sorry, if we here, do an XPath query, and what we were querying for was the now the query now is going to be relative to the root node, and the root node is a skier logs. So what we can be searching would be skier. And we were looking for the one where the attribute user name equals, and the, or was it Andy? I don't remember. It was this way? Was it the other way? Why did I make it so hard for myself? Okay. So it is trying to find this one, and that's what just returns. It returns the result of that query. So then we can see how that's going to look like. The DOM test. Now let me just stop this one output. And then we try this one. And, you know, I usually make mistakes, so I don't know if this is going to be... Oh, it did. Now, it says that the length was zero, which means that it didn't find any objects. So there was something wrong in my query. Let's go back to what we did here. We should get skier, a username, Andrew. That can be quite sure. Skier. And we had Andrew. Okay, let's try again. Now, length is one. So, we can do the same trick as we did in the JavaScript. We can say, okay, what if I want to get the first object in that list? Now, if I go back here, let's see, I need to just scroll up a bit. Now we can see the whole node. This is a DOM element object. Tag name skier, node name skier, node value is this, which is wrong. We're going to come back to that. It should be null. And JavaScript says null. PHP insists on getting all the content of the children, but that's fine. We'll come back to that. There's a node type, and then there are lots of links. And the text content is this. So we did the same thing here. We use XPath inside the PHP DOM. We used XPath to query. And the result is now a list of nodes. Or if you dereference or get the first element, it's an actual node that we get. I was thinking going back to here. Now, if you would like to find the number of skiers. Oh, sorry, I could go in here first. So if I do... you remember the query? We count. Only one of these guys, but if I take the predicate away, it's 112. And if I go here, I can't then, so let me, I think what I was thinking is that these files aren't there already. So what I was thinking is that as I build up the file, I'm just going to keep it, and then I load it up on Blackboard afterwards. You can go and see everything. So I'm just going to comment out everything I add as we don't use it anymore. So you can go through and look at the document there. So you don't have to watch the video to find all the small things I did. So if we just comment this one out. Now, we couldn't use query, because query is generating just that sets. But if I want to use evaluate, Then I can do the same thing. I can, count skiers, and then I can just delete the rest, and I can't dereference this because this is nothing. So I can use XPath to query how many nodes satisfying a certain criteria, and that I can do also inside the PHP program where I used the DOM. So if I didn't do anything wrong, usually I do. Didn't say anything. Return. Let's see. No, I didn't. I skipped once. Sorry. Okay. There you go. Debug. It says 112. So again, everything you have done last week, don't forget about it when you start doing the second path part, because the second part is very much about DOM and traversal and everything. But remember that the nice XPath tool is with us all the time, so you can just bring it out when you want to find how many of these nodes are there, any of those nodes, where can we find all this information, traversing up and down and backwards using XPath as well. We'll talk a little bit about it later in the lecture as well. The node list has one property, which is length of the node, and we have item, which is a way to get node in the node list. So what we can do, if you go back to the to this one, or maybe I'll just rather do it this, it's a bit faster doing it here. So here, if we change this query, because there is many of these, and we know we did already do this, saying the 20th is a skier, and if I look at that skier, is Aina Nygo. Now, if I go back and say okay, but this is a node list. So a node list also has the item function. Oops, it didn't. No, this is not. X is not a function. What is wrong in my type here? Of the function. Okay. Then I need to. No, that's right. JavaScript didn't. So I have to go to this one. So there are a bit of differences between the two. JavaScript didn't need to implement it this way. But let's go to DOM here. And let's comment this one out. Because it's more convenient to use the style we had here. So remember we have this one, but rather than saying we can do item 0. It's the same thing, it's rather than dereferencing using an array index, we just use the item function. And we get the same thing, we get the same element as we did when we used the dereferencing. The same node. So we could use item function, and we can get the length, see how long it is. So we can also do this rather than the just skiers, and then the length of this one. Oops, not this. And we get 112. So same thing as using the brackets. It doesn't matter which one you use. 3 minutes. So let's just go through this. So the good thing there is that a node list, if you go to the PHP manual, you can find that the DOM node list, it's traversable and countable. And this means that we can use for and for each loop to iterate through all the children. So a node list, we can go through all the children in the node list by using for each. Or we could do for index from 0 to the length of the node list. We can iterate each one, but we can also do for each, because here they are traversable and they are countable. So we can use the for mechanisms for that. Then how to get the fifth skier in the skier list. We could do that before we go for a break. How do we get the fifth skier? What's the index of the fifth skier? Index 4, because it's zero-based index. So that's how we get it. So that's the XPath query. And here I could use either item 4, here 4, or I could use the square brackets with 4, which would be the fifth element, place with the index 4. I think that is a bit, for once, I'm a bit ahead of time, which is better, because if I start with the next thing, it's going to be 10 minutes overtime. So I think we start here. You could be back still 4:15, and then we'll start going into the other parts of this.